The following is a class on Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, text 20, given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on August 7th, 1998, at Villa Vrindavan, Italy.
Charity given out of duty, without expectation of return, at the proper time and place, and to a worthy person is considered to be in the mode of goodness. We are reading this evening from chapter 17 of Bhagavad Gita, entitled Divisions of Faith. Herein Lord Krishna is explaining, according to the modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, how a person engages in various activities. This is very important because for those who want to make actual spiritual progress, they must have the power to discriminate. The three modes of material nature are controlling everything and everyone within this material creation. These three modes are forcing people, not only people, but all creatures, to act according to their influences. The example is given that Maya is like a puppet master. The living entity under the bondage of Maya is like the puppet. And the three modes of material nature are like the strings that force us to behave in certain ways under superior direction. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara abhimutatma karta hamiti manyate. Krishna explains in Gita that the bewildered soul thinks himself to be the doer of his activities, but actually they are simply being carried out by nature through the three modes. To think that we are the doer of anything is ahankar, or false ego. We are always subordinate to the superior mercy of the Lord. The living entity, who is marginal by nature, has the free will or choice to either act under the control of Krishna's superior spiritual energy by following the instructions of Guru Sadhu Shastra, or following the material energy, being directed and controlled by material energy by following one's own mind and senses. Sri Bhagavad Gita is teaching us how we can work under the influence and control of Krishna and thus free ourselves from being controlled by Maya. The result of being under the control of Maya is birth, old age, disease, and death. And within that span, there is the threefold miseries. Miseries of my own body and mind, miseries caused by other living beings, and miseries caused by supernatural disturbances. The result of serving under the control of Krishna's divine energy, Satchidananda, a life which will gradually lead us to eternity knowledge and transcendental bliss. So how to overcome this material energy which is controlling us at every stage of our life? We have no power. Thus Krishna explains, Daivyeshu gunamayi mama maya duratiya mame bhavim prabhetyante mayameta tarantite. This material nature is very strong. the three modes of nature are insurmountable. Only one who surrenders to me can cross beyond. So how to surrender to Krishna? That is the subject of Bhagavad Gita. And here it is being explained how to discriminate between activities in the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Unless we first come to the mode of goodness, we cannot transcend material nature. Srila Prabhupada emphasized this very much. Therefore, while we are cultivating transcendence, we must simultaneously live in the mode of goodness. In our parampara, Srila Prabhupada has given us at initiation two very specific vows. One is to follow the four regulative principles. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. In and of themselves, there's nothing spiritual about the four regulative principles. However, if we strictly follow these four regulative principles, we are free from the mode of passion and ignorance. Following these principles situates us in the mode of goodness. Then we chant Hare Krishna, which brings our consciousness to the complete spiritual platform. Krishna's name is not different than Krishna himself. All the power of Krishna has incarnated within his name. However, we must chant the name from the platform of the mode of goodness in order for our chanting to have its maximum effect. If our life is affected by the mode of passion and ignorance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, when we chant, it is like an elephant taking bath, and then when we act under the influence of the lower modes, it is like the elephant again rolling in the mud and becoming filthy. No doubt, it is a gradual process of getting clean, but very gradual. If we want to make optimum spiritual progress, we should bathe and not throw dirt on us. We already have so much dirt on us. We will have to bathe for the rest of our life to get this dirt out of us. To speak of covering ourselves with more dirt. So therefore, these four regulative principles situate us in the mode of goodness, which is the springboard by which the chanting will have the optimum effect of purifying our hearts and awakening love of Krishna within us. These four regulative principles are just a very basic understanding of what we should not engage in. Bhagavad Gita is here teaching us very fine understandings. One of the duties of every human being is to be charitable. If a person is not charitable, he is considered to be a miser. Just to take and take and take without giving is a degraded life. In every religion, charity is considered one of the greatest virtues. But we must understand to make progress, we must give the proper method of charity. It is described here that charity, giving the wrong thing at the wrong time to the wrong person in the wrong place, is charity in the mode of ignorance. This type of charity, people of the world will applaud and think you are a great saintly person. But you make no spiritual progress. And you don't really help anyone in their real purpose of life. Charity with expectation of fame, prestige, glory or some material result is charity in the mode of passion. All that type of charity will benefit is it will only further entangle you in the laws of karma, and it will also further entangle the person you're giving charity in the laws of karma. But today we are reading charity given out of duty, not out of prestige, without expectation of anything in return, at the proper place, at the proper time, to a person who will utilize it properly, is in the mode of goodness. What is Krishna consciousness? The same principle of charity in the mode of goodness. If we give Krishna consciousness to them, then it is completely transcendental. If we are preaching or assisting the preachers, we are actually engaged in the topmost charitable work. Lord Chaitanya explained, it is paraupakar. It is the topmost welfare activity to give Krishna consciousness to another. Lord Chaitanya embraced Maharaj Prataparudra when he chanted that verse that explained that those who give the message of Krishna to others, they are the most munificent welfare workers. And in giving that charity, Krishna will supply us more and more and more to give. That was Srila Prabhupada's mission. Preaching mission, give the charity of Krishna consciousness, Krishna Katha, Krishna Nam, Krishna Seva to the whole world. But unfortunately, sometimes even devotees, when they are giving in charity, they are influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. We expect some material return. We want Amini Pratishta Kanika. We want wealth, we want some sexual arrangement, or we want prestige. Our acharyas have explained these are the three greatest stumbling blocks to a devotee. Even when we are very advanced and we are giving the charity of Krishna consciousness, if we become diverted by the desires for Kanika, Kamini, and Pratishta, then we have to give it up or we fall down. But how to overcome these influences? They are so strong within our conditioned mind. We have to truly cultivate the mood of being the servant of the servant of the servant. We have to constantly check the egoistic propensities in our heart. When we are offering something to Krishna, are we actually offering it to Krishna, or are we making an offering to our false ego? Are we dressing the deity to make Krishna so beautiful that he will attract everyone's hearts? Or are we dressing the deities for everyone will think that I am the best, most artistic pujari in all of the movement? Are we cooking for the deities in the mood, let me give pleasure to Krishna and all of his devotees? Or are we cooking for the deities thinking that let me feed my ego, when they taste this preparation, everyone will think, what a great, glorious, empowered cook I am? When we are making flowers, are we thinking that this garland will attract the whole world to Srila Prabhupada and Krishna because it will magnify their beauty in the hearts of others? Or are we thinking with every flower that I'm going to make this so nice that all the other garland makers are envious of me? Are we distributing books because it's the order of my guru, let his mercy go for others? Or are we distributing books so that we can get big plate of Mahaprasad and be the winner of the marathon? So in our devotional service, we have to learn to be an instrument of mercy in the hands of the great souls. We have to truly be in the mood of the servant of the servant. If we do not check these conditionings of desires for wealth, women, or men for women, and prestige, adoration, if we are still striving to get that out of our service, then it is a matter of time till we fall. So to not have these expectations is the mode of goodness. To give the mercy of Krishna is transcendental to this material world. Today is Lord Balaram's appearance day. Narottam Das Thakur has prayed, Purujendra Nandana Jai Shachishuta Hoylo Se Balaram Hoylo Nithai, that Lord Krishna has appeared as Sachinandan Shivauranga Mahaprabhu, and Balaram has appeared in this age of Kali Yuga as Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Paramakaruna Pahum Duijana Nidai Gaura Chandra. They are supremely merciful. Why? Because they are giving in charity the gift of Krishna Prema to everyone. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compared himself to a gardener. He said, I have so many fruits of love of God, and I want to give them for free without any cost to everyone. But I have so many fruits, I cannot do it alone. Therefore, I am asking my devotees to help me, to assist me in distributing these fruits of love of God. The only price is to accept it. So Nityananda Prabhu was the foremost of all personalities to distribute the fruits of love of God to the whole world. Balaramji is considered the original spiritual master because he is that person, the first expansion of the Lord, who is completely, eternally committed to doing service for Lord Krishna. The spiritual master is the servant of the Lord and engage others in the service of the Lord. And Lord Balaram Nityananda Prabhu is the origin of that tattva. Nityananda Prabhu understood the heart of the Supreme Personality of God. What is the ultimate service we can render to the Lord? In this material world, the ultimate service is to give Krishna prema to others. Harinama, harinama, harinama eva kevalam kalo nasdeva 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 gatiranyat. In the age of Kali, there's only one means of achieving Krishna prema. That is the chanting of Harinam. Therefore, Lord Balaramji, in his form of Nithai, simply giving Krishna Nam to the world. Lord Brahma is the original spiritual master, specifically in this universe. He's the founder of our Sampradaya. And in the spiritual world, Balaram's the original spiritual master. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, they became a preaching team. The original guru of this universe and the original guru of the spiritual world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, go to every person in every house, everyone you meet on the street, in the bathing ghats, in all the villages, and teach them this simple message. Give this charity on my behalf. What is the charity? The message. Chant the holy name of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Give Krishna to others. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. Krishna is the only real wealth of your life. Krishna is your very life and soul. So, Haridas Thakur, who is Lord Brahma, and Nityananda Prabhu, Balaramji, they were going house to house, person to person, giving this message in charity. And out of their mercy, they were begging people to accept this mercy. Even the most egoistic, materialistic, sinful people. Please, chant Hare Krishna, worship Krishna. Give this message of Krishna to others. And if people accepted it, they would be most fortunate. They would be supremely wealthy with Krishna Prem. But if they refuse to accept it, Nityananda Prabhu, Balaram, and Haridas Thakur Brahma would fall at their feet and beg them, please take Krishna's name. You are wasting your life all day just making money for what? Decorate your dying bodies. And at night you are just wasting in sleep and sex. Chant the names of Krishna. Serve the Vaishnavas. Worship Krishna. Hear the glories of Krishna. Be really wealthy. Find true happiness. Begging people to take this charity. They would fall in the dust of the ground, offering obeisances to people, sinful people. Take this charity of Krishna consciousness. Even to the extent of begging Jagai and Madhai. Ultimate perfection of the mercy of Balaram was manifested when Nityananda Prabhu delivered Jagai and Madhai. Nityananda Prabhu is the supreme source of all other avatars. He's the original expansion of Krishna. He's the source of Narayan and Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu just inhales and is breathing and the entire cosmic manifestation is destroyed. This is just a mere expansion of an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Lord Nityananda. And yet he's coming with folded hands to these two drunken, rascal, sinful men, Jagai and Madhai, saying, please take the name of Krishna, please. Madhai smashed him over the head with a pot. Nityananda Prabhu's head was bleeding and his body was covered with blood. He's the source of Mahavishnu. He could have just breathed and these men would have been completely annihilated. In his form of Balaram and Krishna's Leela, he had his club and his plow and he was destroying Vivida Gorilla and Pralambasura and Denukasura. But in this form of Nityananda Prabhu, he expressed a much higher degree of spiritual compassion. He expressed the greatest spiritual power, not to destroy, but to transform. After he was hit on the head and he was bleeding, he still continued with folded palms to say, please, I don't mind you have done this to me, but chant the name of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya came on the scene with his eyes angry like fire. He called Chakra Chakra and Sudarshan Chakra was about to sever these demons' heads. But Balaram's supreme compassion was there. Please do not kill them. Give them your mercy. If they chant your names, your glories, Mahaprabhu, will be spread throughout the entire world, throughout the universes. He said to Madhai, Jagai, I forgive you. I don't mind you hit me. Lord Chaitanya, don't bother. I'm not hurt. Just give them Krishna consciousness. He forgave them, embraced them, and he begged them to take Krishna's name. They took Krishna's name, and they became great Vaishnavas, worshipable by all living beings. so kind, so gentle, filled with love. This is the ultimate charity to give, and this Lord Balaram exemplified and taught the world how to give. You cannot approach Lord Chaitanya except through the compassion and mercy of Lord Nityananda. And the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu is coming through the Guru Parampara. Therefore, this is the only proper process by which we can really achieve the causeless mercy of Krishna. And it is that mercy which is the greatest act of charity. It is to give that mercy that makes us most dear to the Lord. So on this very holy day of Sri Balaramji's appearance, let us commit ourselves that whatever obstacles or difficulties may come in our life, Sri Radha Praja Sundara Ki Jai, Nitai Gaura Chandra Ki Jai, Sri Balaram Subhadra Jagannath Ki Jai. Let us commit ourselves that whatever may happen in this world, this material nature is full of complications, implications. Let us remain fixed in receiving this great charity of the mercy of Sri Guru and Guru. And let us purify our hearts and become the dear servants of the servants of the servants of the Lord, by giving this charity to others. You don't have to be a big preacher to give this charity to others. You just have to be sincere. I'll give you an example. One of our god sisters. The deities will like this story, because deities like when we glorify Vaishnavas. But they will not tolerate if we criticize Vaishnavas. But today everyone thinks they have the right to criticize Vaishnavas. No one has such a right. You have the right to get the reaction. So, this god sister of ours, Kunti Devi, she joined this Hare Krishna movement in 1971. Came to New Vrindavan with a little baby daughter. She used to chop wood. With an axe, she would chop wood in order to make the wood fit in this wood stove to cook. She would supply the wood to the cooks, and she would go to the well and pull the rope to bring water for the cooks. All the devotees in the ashram, she was always eager to wash their clothes. There was no washing machines or drying machines. She would have to pull the water up from the well and wash each piece on a piece of rock and then hang it up on a piece of rope under trees, fold them nicely and give them to devotees. It was not her prescribed duty. She had so many other duties. But this was what she just volunteered to do as a special service to all the devotees. Later, she was told, leave your children here and go out in Sankirtan. She was never a big distributor, but she tried her very best for several years. She never won any awards. She never got any recognition or glory. But she never complained, never criticized. Just went on doing her work as well as she possibly could for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas. Later on, she could understand her children needed her. So she concentrated much of her attention on being a Krishna-conscious mother. Very difficult. Her husband was kind of crazy and left. She was the mother, the father, everything. And the children were not easy children either. And still she maintained her sadhana very nicely. She always did as much service as she possibly could for the temple, always eager to preach the message of Krishna. In this way, She was one of the most unknown devotees in the Hare Krishna movement. One person knew her, Prabhupada and Krishna, because of her sincere, humble efforts to give Krishna to others. She had so many struggles and so many heartbreaks, but she just continued on trying to serve Krishna and her guru. One day, she found that she had cancer of her bones, one of the most painful, excruciating ways of dying. Her body was racked with pain. She gradually became paralyzed from her waist down. Her spinal cord was so eaten away by cancer, it just cracked in so many places. Her hip was broken. She was in great pain. I spoke to her last summer, and she told me, "I can't get out of this bed, but I don't feel like I'm on my deathbed, because I have all Prabhupada's books right here, by the mercy of Vaishnavas. And I'm hearing these books, and I'm hearing Prabhupada directly speaking to me. I have read these books for the last 26 years. I have never heard Prabhupada speak so clearly to me as now. I am not on a deathbed. I feel like I'm sitting on the bank of the holy river Ganges." And just as Maharaj Parikshit spent his last days on the river Ganges hearing Sukadeva Goswami, I am sitting on this bank of the river Ganges hearing attentively the words of my Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. I have never experienced so much happiness in my Krishna consciousness or in my life before. Feel Srila Prabhupada and Krishna's mercy just uplifting me with every word that I read. Never have before have I taken shelter of the holy name like this. I don't take this as a disease. I take this as a great benediction, causeless mercy. She came to New Vrindavan, even though her body was practically completely dissolved. She was effulgent. And all the young, healthy devotees were coming to see her. They were thinking they were going to come to make her happy. But by the time they left, they realized we came and she made us happy. You have read about Bhishma in Srimad Bhagavatam. He was laying in a bed of arrows. From his neck to his toes, you couldn't put your finger between two arrows. There were so many. Each arrow pierced from the front of the body through the back of the body into the ground. Couldn't move. But yet all the sages, Brahmins, Vaishnavas, and kings that came, he greeted them with so much respect and hospitality. In the same way, every person that came into her room, she greeted them with so much respect and love and attention. And she would preach to everyone, "Just take this gift of Krishna consciousness. Take the name of Krishna." And when devotees wanted to do something for her, she would just say, "Just have kirtan or read Srila Prabhupada's books." There were people who had not come to New Vrindavan for 15 years because of the way they were mistreated there in the past. But they came to see Kunti Devi. What even big sannyasis couldn't do, she did. Changed people's hearts. So perfectly Krishna conscious. And when she was at her last stages, so many people wanted to come and chant and have kirtan for her. She closed her eyes. She was breathing, but it appeared that she was completely unconscious. Just before she left, Nobody knew if she was actually aware of what was going on or not as we were having kirtans. Please listen carefully. Her daughter, who was about 25 years old, she came to Krishna consciousness when she was a little baby with her mother. The daughter spoke into her mother's ears when everyone thought maybe she's in coma, she can't understand anything. The daughter actually went away from Krishna consciousness to some extent for several years. But seeing her mother's Krishna consciousness and how gracious and humble and grateful she was during this last year of her disease, the daughter's heart completely changed and became a devotee again. The daughter spoke in mother's ear. Everyone around was thinking, she doesn't know what's happening. She said to her mother, I know you're leaving, but before you leave this world, I want to just tell you how grateful I am that you gave me Krishna consciousness. She was incapable of speaking or even moving. But when her daughter said that, we all saw tears flowing from her eyes, knowing that she could leave this world with the understanding that her daughter had accepted the charity, the gift of Krishna consciousness that she had given her life to give her. She left the world in the presence of devotees chanting in such a wonderful, wonderful state of Krishna consciousness. She expressed such high and sublime realizations of the Siddhanta of Bhakti. What was her qualification? She was not Dig Sannyasi, she was housewife. She was not a famous preacher. She was just a simple servant, yet she was sincere. And she always wanted to preach. And in her death, she preached, and she changed hundreds of people's hearts. And in hearing these stories, she will change thousands of people's hearts. So whatever our capacity, if we have capacity to preach to thousands, we should preach to thousands. If we have capacity to distribute millions of books, we should distribute millions of books. We have capacity to build beautiful temples. We can build beautiful temples. However, this simple, humble, genuine mood of being the servant of the servant of the servant must be there. Otherwise, we'll make big show and then nothing's left. But if we are servant of the servant of the servant in this mood, sincerely trying to serve and give the charity of Harinam, then our life is perfect. Even if we're not very educated, even if everything we do, we don't do it very well. We make garland best of our capacity, and people say, why you have made this stupid garland? Krishna accepts our intention, our sincerity, our humility, our willingness to go on under all circumstances. Kunti Dev preached a very important message for the whole world to hear. What is real bhakti? And who is qualified to have that bhakti? So this is the message of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. To receive the mercy of the Lord and to give it to others. Whatever our capacity, don't be discouraged. Go on with your service. Kunti Devi went through heartbreaking experiences, was cheated in Krishna consciousness in so many ways when she was trying to do her service, even by authorities. I cannot even explain how, to what extent. But she went on with her service with humility and devotion, in faith in the essence of what Krishna consciousness really is all about. and she perfected her life, and she showed us the path of perfection. So on this holy day of Lord Balaramji's appearance, let us meditate on the great charitable gift that he has given us, grateful to receive it, and be eager to share it with others through our life, our word, our actions, our thoughts. And let us cooperate together in this spirit to spread the glories of the Holy Name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Sri Nityananda Balaram ki
jai.
Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki
jai.
Sri Sri Radha Brajasundar ki
jai.
Anantipuri Vaishnava Vrinda ki
jai.
Govimanandi
Mani Govinda.